All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis 29. Jacob has been sent to Padan Aram by his father Isaac after receiving the blessing. And Jacob, as he was going, had a dream. And he dreamed that there was a ladder that reached from the earth. The top of it went to heaven. After he was awakened, he thought back on those things that had been promised him by the Lord. He knew that the Lord surely was in that place. And after he awakened, he took the pillow that he'd slept on and he raised it for a pillar, and he anointed it as a memorial unto God meeting with him. He said, this is the very gate of heaven right here. God had blessed him. Now, the scripture we're going to deal with tonight, chapter 29, verses 1 through 14, starts off by saying, verse 1, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. Now, Jacob has been assured by the Lord. He said, I will be with you. I'm going to give you all the land of promise. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Christ would come in natural lineage through Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. And the scripture says he went on his journey. Now in the margin it says he lift up his feet. He went with new hope. He'd been told by his mother to leave. Your brother Esau wants to kill you. Daddy reassured the blessing to him. Told him, he said, you need to go. But now he's leaving conscious of the precious promises of God. Those precious promises that we have. You think of the promises. Too many to name. Just the Lord. I'll never leave you. Never forsake you. And the scripture says in that first verse, then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. Now, statistically speaking, this was a long journey. He's traveling. And they say it was probably somewhere around 450 miles from where he left in Beersheba, that he was going to Haran, to a city. And from that last verse right there, verse 22 in the 28th chapter, to that first one right there, covers that first night after he left home. That first night was what we dealt with last night. He slept, he had a dream, all of that was God dealt with and spoke to him. And the next verse right there deals with the rest of the journey. According to the Spirit of God, there was nothing that the Spirit of God saw fit to reveal to us. The Lord had given him traveling mercy, and he's walked the rest of the journey, the rest of that 450 miles in the knowledge of the Lord's presence, and the Lord's blessing. Then it says in verse 2 and 3, and he looked, and behold a well in the field. And lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, for out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in its place. Now here we find Jacob, though at this point right here, there's no indication that he knows exactly where he is. He's come upon a well. And there's three flocks of sheep around that well, and they're lying around. And this is where all the sheep are watered. Water out of this particular well. These sheep have been waiting there just because there's a stone. A great stone upon the well's mouth. And the scripture says in verse 4, and Jacob said unto them, the shepherds that was obviously there, my brethren, whence be ye? Where are you from? And they said, of Haran are we. Now, here's an amazing thing. Here's Jacob and with these three flocks of sheep and these shepherds. And he asked these shepherds, where are you from? Where are you guys from? And they said, we're from Haran. Now, he realizes immediately that he has been powerfully and providentially brought to come to the very place that his parents told him to go to. Turn over, hold your place, turn back to Genesis 27:43. 27, verse 43. Rebekah's mother told him after he received the blessing, and Esau was going to kill him. She said in 27 and verse 43, she said, now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee thou to Laban, my brother, to Haran. I want you to go to my brother's house. He lives in a town, and it's called Haran. And now we realize something. We know this. There are no accidents with God. They're seeing, and we're beholding that the providential guidance of Almighty God, steps of a good man, ordered by the Lord. Every step that we take has been ordered. God's people's steps are ordered. Now, if I could just remember that, how many times have I said to myself, I wish I'd have so-and-so and so-and-so. But providentially, the Lord orders where his people are. He rules in heaven and earth. And here's Jacob, and he's come to the very place that his mother told him to go. I want you to go to Laban, my brother's house. He lives in Haran. And then the scripture says in 5 and 6, and he said unto them, they told him, we're from Haran. And he said unto them, know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he's well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. Yeah, we know him. Yeah, is he doing okay? Yeah, he's doing okay. And he said, in fact, here comes his daughter right here. Now, here's Jacob by divine appointment. The Spirit of God has moved Jacob to this very place to behold the mercy, grace of Almighty God. This, he sees a place where the sheep of Laban's house, this is where Laban, this is the sheep that belong to the family of Abraham and Isaac and his family. And here they are. And here's this well. And it says that verse 2, he looked and behold a well, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it for out of. And that word that just gripped me. They drank out of that well. Oh, do we not begin to see the beauty of the picture and type, the shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the blessed well from which the spiritual sheep, the sheep of God, drink. And Jacob is inquiring, where are you from? We're from Haran. Haran. From Haran? You know Laban? Yeah, we know him. Yeah, we know him. Now here's Jacob inquiring about Laban, his mother's brother, and as he's requiring, here comes Rachel. And these guys tell her, is he well? Yeah, verse 6, he's well, and behold, Rachel, now listen to this, his daughter cometh with the sheep. Now let me show you something of the significance of that. Turn back to chapter 28 and verse 2. Okay, his mama told him, I want you to go to Laban, my brother's house. He's in Haran. Now when, when Isaac is getting ready to send him on, he says in Genesis chapter 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, "Take thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother." Told him, he said, now, mama told him, he said, now you go to Haran. Go to my brother's town, where he is. And his daddy tells him, he said, I don't want you to take a wife of the Canaanites, of the daughters of Canaan. Don't do that. I want you to take a daughter from Laban, family. And you know Laban? Yeah, we know him. Here comes his daughter. Here's one of his daughters right here. And now while she's coming, the Spirit of God moves Jacob to ask the men a question about these sheep that are laying around. And in that question, we behold the glorious display of God's mercy to our eyes concerning our salvation and our drinking of the well. And as we're doing this, I have to say this. I say it for my own instruction too, but for all of us, remember the words of our Lord to the two on the road to Emmaus, and beginning with Moses. In all the scriptures, he expounded unto these two men those things concerning himself. If this is nothing more than a history lesson, we have nothing for us tonight. This just happened hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But if this is relevant tonight, may the Lord open our eyes to see it. He says in verse 7, here comes Rachel, Laban's daughter, one of such that his daddy told him, he said, you marry one of Laban's daughters. He discovered these men are from Haran, so he knows he's in the right spot. And these sheep are all laying around, and here's the well. But there's a great stone on top of the well. Something is restricting them being able to drink. It says in verse 7 and 8, and he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle, those sheep that he was talking about that were there, should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them. Let them drink. It's high time. There's a lot of daylight left. Give these sheep something to drink. And then let them go back out there and feed in the pasture. Don't let them just lay there. And they said in verse 8, we cannot, till all the flocks be gathered together, till they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. Now, Jacob asked him a question. This is an amazing thing. Here's some sheep. There's some sheep laying there, and they need to be watered. Give them something to drink. He said, there's not a lot of daylight left. Why are these sheep not being taken care of? Oh, we can't do it. No, we can't do it. We're not able to do that because we can't do it till all the flocks be gathered together and then we roll the stone away and then we water the sheep. Whether it was a custom, all the commentaries all agreed in this thing. It was either a custom or It was some kind of agreement or some kind of a law that they had among themselves. They couldn't give water to any until all the sheep were gathered together, until they take the stone away, till all is gone. It's going to have to be a kind of a group effort here to get that stone off there. There's no freedom to let the flocks drink the water. And while, verse 9 and 10, and while he yet spake with him, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, what a lovingly beautiful picture is this account of Jacob seeing Rachel. The name Rachel means ewe, E-W-E, female sheep. And here she's brought the sheep of her father to the well to drink. And there's a great stone there. Won't you remove the stone and let them drink? No, we can't. No, we can't. We got these rules and regulations, and that we got to all be together, and we got to have to do that. And she couldn't do it herself. She couldn't remove the stone that the sheep might drink. And so here it is. We have the glorious picture of God's grace and mercy to his people. The well is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that great stone is that which sets forth, that which has restricted us from being able to drink. Now here's the hindrance that had to be overcome before the sheep could drink. What had to be done? The stone had to be rolled away. Rebecca couldn't do it herself. She had no strength to accomplish that feat, just as we, the people of God, have no power within ourselves to remove the restriction that keeps us from drinking from the well of life. So the only hope that Rebecca had for the sheep to be able to drink was that another removed the stone that restricted the sheep being refreshed and drink. Likewise, before any of God's elect could drink freely of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the well of life himself, there was a great stone that had to be rolled away that we might possess, have the freedom to drink Christ. And what was the great stone? What was the great stone that kept us from freely having him? Well, first of all, there was a great stone of the sin and guilt that barred us from freely drinking whenever Adam transgressed in the garden. Sin entered the world, and death by sin. And that one transgression, by one transgression, many were made sinners. And now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What is it that restricts a man from being able to drink? He's dead. He's dead. There's the well. Exercise your free will and drink. I can't. Why? Men are dead in trespasses and sins. Because of Adam's disobedience, God was offended. And now here's the state of every man and woman born in Adam. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in him. Nothing wholesome but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. just raw flesh, not treated, not closed, not pressed together, neither bound up, wrapped, nor mollified. That is, softened with medication. Oh, what a stone. It keeps us from drinking freely. We're dead. Now, that's a great stone. A man born spiritually dead. And here's another part of this great stone. The soul that sinneth, I'm dead in trespasses and sins. And the soul that sinneth is going to die. Our iniquities, here's all part of this great stone. Our iniquities has separated us from God, and our sins have hid his face from us. And listen, here's another great stone. He will not hear. Brethren, we're helpless. Helpless in ourselves and helpless to change it. But that's not all. Not only are we born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, we possess no acceptable righteousness before God. The scripture declares, Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. What's hindering us from being able to drink from the well? We're dead in trespasses and sins. We have no righteousness, separated from God. Let them drink. Can't. There's a great stone on top of the well. What a mess. What a mess. Job 15, verse 14, 16 says this. What is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Oh, what a great stone. We're not trustworthy. We're dead, separated. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. If the Lord charges even his angels with folly, how then can a man be just with God? How can that great stone be removed? There's a great stone that covers the well of life because of man's sin, because of man's unrighteousness, because of man's separation, filthy. Oh, but take heart. The whole accomplishment of the removal of that great stone was found in the person who is pictured by Jacob, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How was that great stone removed? Remove the stone. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. How was it removed? Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. How was that stone removed on behalf of the sheep? Psalm 69:9. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. How is that great stone going to be removed? Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. How is that great stone removed? How can man be just with God? 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jacob has a beautiful type and picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture says, here's what happened. It came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother. I don't know what Jacob knew. I don't know what he knew. But I know this. This is one. This one of the sort. Let me say it like that. That his daddy said, you take this one for a wife. You take of the daughters of Laban. When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Oh, the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pictured here is our Jacob that rolled the stone away. What a marvelous victory. It just makes me want to just clap and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that which you've done. Thank you for removing that separation, that which hindered, that which stopped the well. I had no right to the well. I can't approach God now with boldness to enter into the very presence by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but before I close tonight, I want to just read verses 11 to 14. And I want us to behold a beautiful picture of how God's mercy is toward those that he's everlastingly loved, how the Lord reveals himself. Now here you look at Jacob as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ removing the stone. And here's Rachel, the one he looked upon. And when he saw her, he removed that stone. And look what it says, and Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, a terminology. He was his nephew. Her daddy's nephew, but brother. And that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. It came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him. And he embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And told Laban all these things. Told him everything happened. God sent me, and I had this dream, and saw this ladder. The Lord promised me, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to guide you, direct you. I'm not going to leave you. Wherever you go, I'm going to, you know. My daddy told me to go and to find a daughter of Laban, one of your daughters. My mama told me to come to Haran. That's where you live. And God has led me to this place. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely, thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. Jacob, he kissed her. He kissed Rachel. Lifted up his voice, weeping, surely because of his grateful acknowledgement of God's mercy and kindness in leading him to this place. Only God could have gotten me to this place. And that beautiful picture of removing that stone, only the Lord Jesus Christ could remove that stone and let the sheep, a picture of God's people, let them drink. It reminded me in closing of John 7:33. And that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, I ain't waiting on nobody to come remove any stones. They've been removed. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Oh, I pray God bless this to our heart. May we just get a glimpse of the glory of God's mercy and compassion to his people for the sake of his precious son and for the good of his people.